Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Rodney Bent. Rodney is the professional staff on the House Appropriations Committee. Joining us in our conversation is Jonathan Brule.
Rodney, what role did Congress play and does play in the distribution of the funds and the reconstruction efforts?
Huge role, obviously, in terms of the initial appropriation, but then also the subsequent oversight, both getting the reports from CPA, and presumably in the future it'll be the State Department, on what's being done, asking questions, looking at the components of the spending, making sure it all adds up.
You talked about the reports earlier and that you were there pulling together the first one and now you receive it. Can you reflect on the process of pulling the report together and interpreting it from the different points of view?
Sure. When when I got out to Baghdad, I thought that I'd get out and find well-established routines, people who had clearly put together the first report and done, I thought, a very good job and could explain what was behind all of the assumptions. When I got out there, a lot of those people had already moved on in some sense. And so we were starting from not ground zero, but we were, in a lot of cases, reinventing what had been done. Who was going to carry something out? Why did we make these assumptions about number of power plants or the number of police who are going to be trained or the number of staff? And you have to adjust that. There was clearly, I think, as an example, a desire to spend more on security because that was more important. And so the Iraqi armed forces, which were initially conceived of as, I think, an agent against external aggression, in the change, I think, became less relevant than, say, standing up the Iraqi Civil Defense Corps, which was part of the internal group that was helping the multinational force deal with the insurgencies.
When you think about reporting, of course, you get lots of money, you need reporting, but some would argue reporting sort of is this bureaucratic thing and it slows things down and causes more layers. What was your perspective?
Well, I think it's a useful discipline. It forces people to ask the questions that need to be asked. What's the structure? Who's going to carry it out? What are the reasonable expectations? What's not? It's what people do with the reports where I think that, you can ask questions about, do they have a role in asking tough questions? If you get to a level of questioning that really does slow things down, you can't answer who's going to carry out this project in this governorate, and so therefore you ought not to do it, then you're clearly impeding progress. But to ask questions about, well, who's going to carry it out and what do you hope to achieve, that's entirely legitimate.
Given the fact that Iraq has recently emerged as a sovereign nation, what are some of the challenges that you foresee for this new country?
Oh, huge challenges. One is going to be security, clearly. Second will be corruption, which under Saddam flourished at all levels. And Iraq, I think, previously was a secular, humanistic culture in which honesty was prized. And yet, over the last 35 years or so, it's moved to a period in which all sorts of rake-offs and kickbacks and corruption and influence peddling is all part of the norm of doing business. I hope that more transparency, more accountability, it's not honesty because that gives a value-laden term that I don't think is appropriate here, but more transparent way of doing business, I guess, so that people can see that they're getting full value for their dinars.
I'd be curious how you reflected in your time in terms of the expectations that have been placed on this whole process.
I think looking back on it now, the expectations of a year and a half ago were clearly way too high in terms of building a liberal democracy and a free market economy that was going to maybe not be on a par with Switzerland, but certainly up there. And I think that those were absolutely unmeetable expectations. And so much more realistic would be to say, can you get a functioning economy? Can you start a banking system? Can you get a government that makes essential decisions on behalf of its citizens? I think that's possible. I think the violence and that, the coming together that I hope will happen would prevent what would be a disaster, which would be a civil war and warring groups and everybody thinking that they're entitled to take what they can take by force of arms.
And another aspect of your very unique experience has been working with people with different cultures, but also the military, the State Department. Mm-hmm. I wonder how you sort of reflect
sure.
on all that.
I out there, I have just the utmost respect for the military. It's setting aside Abu Ghraib and whatever you think of that. I coming back from meetings at the Ministry of Finance, and you'd see kids standing at checkpoints absolutely exposed and not knowing whether there was a sniper or whether they were going to be killed doing their job. But there was really a degree of professionalism that was I just found incredibly impressive. People were thrown into doing things that they had no training for. Civil affairs officers were working with the Ministry of Social Affairs on things like vocational training programs, and they kind of plunged into it. It was sort of a think outside the box, be innovative, what works, they're sort of, we're in this. We got to do something. What can we do? What works? Well, if that doesn't work, okay, let's try something else. There was a real entrepreneurial kind of get it done feeling out there.
What about members of your budget team? How did they perform and how was their work environment?
Well, we would leave the green zone probably 6 days a week, Friday being the holy day. And so people got out there. When I got out there, I think staff were young and talented and hardworking, but they didn't really have a lot of experience in budget matters. And so, part of it was throwing them into it and helping them as best you could. But it I think gets a little bit to, well, what kinds of skills were required and what kinds of folks should be out there. The British and the Australians sent mid-level employees who'd worked for 5 or 10 years on things like financial markets or budgets. What is a little missing in the discussion back here is the contribution of the other countries to the civil reconstruction, if you will. And I will say that my Australian and British colleagues were absolutely invaluable, and they were huge, important parts of whatever successes we did have.
Well, with that as a perspective, I'd be curious, what advice, based on your career as well as your recent experience, what advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service?
The challenges of public service are that you're going to find a commitment desire to get things done that, I'm not putting this very well, but I think what you're going to find challenges that you're just not going to find in the private sector. You're going to be given awesome levels of responsibility that are going to be well beyond anything you might do as a 25 or a 30-year-old in a company. It's, on the one hand, daunting, and on the other hand, it forces you to grow. I think that if I were looking back on sort of my own career, I think that a lot of what you learn in the public sector, sort of analyzing choices, trying to bring a neutral, turn the coin and look at both sides perspective to issues, that's important. You can't go in and be a moralist and try to judge people's motives. You got to deal with the world as you find it. And I think that that and the camaraderie and the sense of purpose were what I most enjoyed about CPA.
Well, I know, Jonathan, I could ask you many more questions, but I'm afraid we're out of time, Rodney. We want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Rodney Vent. Rodney's a professional staffer on the House Appropriations Committee, but for the past 6 months, he's been the director of the CPA's Office of Management and Budget and a senior advisor to the Iraqi Ministry of Finance. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.